It is so great to be back, isn't it? If you're with us for the first time tonight or the 100th time, we are so glad every one of you is here. This is a great place to jump into the study. Even if you've never read 2 Corinthians before, even if you have never read the Bible before, you will get so much out of being part of this study and meeting some amazing women here. I want to remind you that God has placed you in this study and in your small group by no accident. He knows everything that's going on with you right now and everything that's coming up, and He has things that He wants to show you from His Word. And He'll do one of His very favorite things, and that is to change the way you see things, to change your priorities, to change the way you invest your life. Knowing God's Word can change the direction of your life. I pray that you will all see that this year. When I went to college, I was already a Christian. And, I mean, I knew some Bible stories. I knew about Noah's Ark. I knew David and Goliath. I knew the story of Jesus. But I'd never really read the Bible that much before. But this older woman came to our sorority house to teach us the Bible. And so she showed us things out of Scripture that I was like, this is really relevant and practical in my life. I was like, I had no idea that God's Word had things that were practical for me. And she talked about dating. She showed us from God's Word that if you're a believer in Christ, God would want you to date a guy that's a believer in Christ, to marry a guy that's a believer in Christ. And I was like, really? Huh? And so it changed the way I saw dating. Like, the guys I'd gone out with before, I never gave it any thought about whether he was a believer in Christ or not. So from then on, I never dated a guy again that was not a believer in Christ. I just hadn't known to value that before. But when I started to value that, it changed things. And when I met and married my husband, like, his relationship with Christ, it's one of the most important things to me. So knowing God's Word that she taught us at the Kappa House, it changed the direction of my life. So we decided to spend this week reviewing the first part of 2 Corinthians, in case you're like me and you need to be reminded. In school, I was always one of those people that studied really hard at the last minute for the test the next day, and then I just forgot everything I learned and moved on. We don't want y'all to be like that, to just look at the lesson for the week and then just move on. We want what you see in God's Word to take root in your heart and in my heart. So tonight, we're going to look back at the context. We're going to look back at some of the big ideas from 2 Corinthians, and I want you to hear some stories, because stories remind us that this is real. So the context. We always love to talk about the context, you know. So we want to bridge the gap between their time and our time, because it makes it come alive. So studies have shown that if a person looks at any part of the Scripture and knows the context, it's going to mean a lot more to you if you know the who, the what, the when, the where. So let's talk about that. The who. The writer is Paul. Paul was a Pharisee, a Jewish leader. In his early life, he hated Christians and persecuted them. But God had other plans for Paul. One time he was on a trip to Damascus to find some other Christians to persecute, and he met the risen Jesus Christ. He was literally blinded by a light, and his life was never the same. Jesus called Paul to be an apostle. So even though Paul was not one of the 12 disciples of Jesus, he's still considered an apostle. So here's what the office of apostle is. It would have been someone who was an eyewitness of Jesus Christ, and someone who received a calling by God, a charge to share the message of Christ. In Acts 26, Paul is telling his story of what happened on the road to Damascus. Here's what he said. He said, "And the Lord replied, 'I am Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Now get to your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and witness. Tell people that you have seen me and tell them what I will show you in the future. Yes, I am sending you.'" And that word sending, the Greek, it is apostello. See that? "Sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light." And then Paul opens 2 Corinthians with this, chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God." Do you see how that connects? One of the things that Paul did in response to his calling was to establish some local churches. And one of those churches was in the city of Corinth. Paul is the writer of 2 Corinthians, but he is not the main character. Jesus Christ is the main character. Here's what Paul says in chapter 4. "For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." So it's great to know about Paul, but is it essential to know about Jesus Christ? The where is Corinth. Corinth was a cool, successful, prosperous city, a lot like Dallas. Look for that. Had the same drive for success, pride, pretty much anything goes attitude toward morality, and the same fascination with celebrity. The church in Corinth faced some of the same temptations as the churches in Dallas. Sometimes a little too easily influenced by someone that comes along with the newest cultural ideas. After Paul left Corinth, he wrote letters back to the church to address some various issues that were going on in that church. One of those things that was going on, some people came to Corinth to try to influence the Corinthians to doubt Paul, to doubt his authority as an apostle, and to doubt the genuineness of his ministry. So in 2 Corinthians, we see Paul's heart. We see his response to being questioned and mischaracterized. That's the context. So let's look back at some of the big ideas from chapters 1 through 7. There are a lot of them, as you know, but I'm going to mention three that I think kind of bridge the whole book. Suffering, Paul's ministry, and our ministry. Suffering. You will see a lot of references to suffering woven throughout this book. Following Christ doesn't always look like what we expect. Didn't look like what the Corinthian culture expected. It doesn't look like what the Dallas culture expects. Sometimes just the opposite. Following Christ comes with a cost. Not everyone knows that. You may be called to give up some of your comfort. For sure, you're called to give up your selfish desires. You may be called to give up more. Following Christ may involve suffering, but following Christ is worth it. Some people will tell you that God wants all Christians to have an easy, comfortable life. That if you just follow Christ, he'll smooth out all your problems, everything will just fall into place. That if you just pray enough, he'll make all your illnesses and all your pain go away. And then when he doesn't, it can leave you bitter and disillusioned. Ever have that happen? 2 Corinthians goes squarely against the prosperity gospel that sometimes we hear out there. The idea that it's God's will for all believers to be healthy, wealthy, and have an easy life. Y'all, it's just not true. We don't want to deceive you. How has suffering been part of your life? Suffering does not necessarily mean that you're doing anything wrong. Remember, Jesus said, "In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world." Here's some places that we saw suffering in the fall. Chapter 1, remember, he starts out. He says, "God comforts us in hardship so that we can comfort others." Y'all, how can we be intentional about sharing our hardship and the way that God's comforted us as we walk alongside people in hard places? God can use your suffering and his comfort to make a difference for someone else. Chapter 4, it says, God has given believers the treasure of the gospel, but he's put it inside of us, in our bodies that are frail, weak, and prone to suffer. Here's what he says in chapter 4. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. That is good stuff. God uses messy, broken people like us to show that it's him and not us. God uses our weakness to spotlight his sufficiency. I know many of you are in places of suffering. We are so glad you are here. I hope you'll continue to have some real good conversations in your group about things that you're growing through and how Christ is present in your suffering. Next big idea, Paul's ministry. So remember, there were people coming into Corinth who were trying to influence the Corinthians to marginalize Paul. That's dangerous because when you start to doubt the messenger, you can start to doubt his message. So Paul keeps driving home the genuineness of his ministry. He's like, what I'm telling you comes from God. It's like, I care about you enough that I'm going to be straight with you. Don't be deceived by what somebody's telling you. Here's how we saw this in the fall. He authenticates his ministry in chapter 6, but listen for how. He says in chapter 6, we put no obstacle in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. And he goes on for another whole paragraph of that. And then he says, we've spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. Did you hear that? Like, he's not talking about how awesome he is when he authenticates his ministry. He talks about his weakness and his sufferings, how he suffered for Christ and for them. He uses suffering to authenticate his ministry. Look for that again as we move deeper into 2 Corinthians this semester. How does that encourage you? That maybe it's your hardships, not your awards, that show the way God's working in your life. Last big idea, our ministry. Paul says, join me in this ministry. And he paints a picture for the Corinthians and for us about how God works in us through his Spirit in order to work through us to accomplish his purposes in the world. That is where we got our tagline for our semester, Christ in and through you, for our whole study of 2 Corinthians. Here's where we saw this in the fall. In chapter 5, Paul says, we are ambassadors for Christ, ministers of reconciliation. Do you see yourself as an ambassador for Christ? Do you go to work, hang out with your friends, just where you go in your life? Knowing God's word in 2 Corinthians can change the way you see yourself. It can change the way you invest your life. And he can work through you to change the direction of someone else's life. When I was thinking about the idea of an ambassador for Christ, I thought about my friend Stacy Rodriguez. She was a former leader. She was in this study for a long time. And while she was here, She really lived that out. So I want you to hear Stacy's story, because when we hear stories, it reminds us that this is real. Here's Stacy.
Hi. So many fun faces out here that I've not seen in a really long time. But I was in this study years and years ago, 10 plus years ago, and it was life-changing for me. It was one of the most wonderful times of my life, but I really did love sharing the gospel with people that were around me. And I was single at the time, and I was working at a hospital, and I am an occupational therapist in a big office with lots and lots of women, some men, but mostly women. And I just made it my passion to serve the Lord by sharing with them and inviting them to come to Bible study. And it was kind of a funny joke when I would come to the study that there would be a long line of us from my job sitting together. And a lot of them didn't come here. A lot of them didn't know the gospel. And one in particular, precious young woman who had come to work with us, the Lord was just using this hard time for her where she was trying to pass her exams and couldn't pass her occupational therapy exam because she had a lot of test anxiety. And I just kind of came around her, and she started coming to this study and started asking a lot of questions about the Lord. She had a Mormon background, and no one had ever shared with her about Christ. And so we just started digging into the Word together. We came to Great Questions here, along with all the other people that were coming from work. And this precious, sweet girl, the Lord used a really hard time in her life to draw her to Himself. And she was only here for a short period of time, and then she moved to California. And of course, I thought, oh no, what's going to happen? She doesn't have anyone around her. What's going to happen? Well, her faith was so solid. She got plugged into a church. She started doing mission work. I was following her on Facebook. She took mission trip after mission trip after mission trip. She is now married with a sweet husband. They love the Lord together. Mm-hmm. They serve the Lord together. And so it was just a really sweet opportunity to be an ambassador for Christ where I was, which was in my job. I had to open my eyes to where God was working in my job and be available to Him to share with the people that were around me. And so now I'm not in an office. I'm still a therapist, but I work out in the field. But I'm not in an office, and I don't have that same touch to lots of people. I have small patients or family members, but I do have neighbors. And I will say that just taking the opportunity that you have to meet your neighbors around you. I have a sweet single woman that lives in my neighborhood. And I just text her, hey, I'm walking the dog. You want to come? And we go for walks and we talk. And I'm continuing to share the Lord with her. But it doesn't have to be some, you know, big extravagant ordeal. It just means being available for the Lord to use you where you are. And so I just encourage you that that time of my life and this time of my life of sharing with the people around me is rich. And it will bless you more than you can imagine. Just open your eyes and be available. And so, anyway, that's my fun little story of this fun, exciting little Bible study that we did way back when. So,
thanks, you, Stacy. Give it to me. So you see how she just saw herself as an ambassador for Christ, just where she was, and the life that she knows she touched, and who knows how many lives that she touched and continues through that. The more you understand Christ and His gospel, the more effective you can be as His ambassador. Todd tweeted recently. He said, "We will never be the people or the church we want to be if we're not people of the Bible. We will never be the people or the church we want to be if we are not people of the Bible." That's why we're here. Last night, I was singing Jesus Loves Me to our little baby as I was putting her down in her crib. And all of a sudden, it just struck me like, wow, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Those are some of the most profound words ever written. How do we know that Jesus loves us? The Bible tells us so. The Bible is God's revealed word to us. It is living, active, powerful. 2 Timothy says, all scripture is God-breathed. It is useful. It protects us. It protects us from error, from harm. It instructs us on how to live. It helps us make wise decisions. We can't know what God is really like. His real, relentless, radical love for you. His promises. The extent of his faithfulness. You can't really know who you are without the Bible. Otherwise, it's just my opinion of what I think God is like, and I'm wrong a lot. After I was out of college, my sister-in-law, I'm going to silence my phone, y'all. After I was out of college, my sister-in-law invited me to a Bible study. And being part of that study has changed the direction of my life. In that study, they taught us to read the Bible for ourselves. So when I began to really read the Bible for myself, to process and talk about what I was learning with other women in a small group, it changed the way I thought about everything. It changed my priorities. It changed the way I invested my life. I met women there who prayed for me. They didn't just say they were going to pray. They really did. I just hadn't known what I was missing before. I want to keep growing in all those things. And I really, really want that for you too. God has called me to invest in you. To be on my knees before God for you so that you will dig deep into God's word. So that you will know that God loves you. That his love for you is so wide and long and high and deep that he sent his son to die for you. And that knowing the God of the word will change the direction of your life. I want you to meet a friend that I met in that Bible study, Becky Allen, and I want you to hear her story, because stories are the way we know that this is real. Here's Becky.
I come from a church background. I've been in church my whole life, Sunday morning, Sunday night, midweeks, youth activities, camps, I was baptized, I was a Christian, right? When I was a teacher, I even had a Bible on my desk because I thought it would be a good example for my students. And then I joined a Bible study where for the very first time, I studied God's word for myself. And I loved it. I loved the people. I loved the word. I loved the fellowship with everybody. I loved the truth. But studying it every day was kind of new to me because I normally didn't think about God unless I was at church. And I began to ask questions about the scriptures, and as I did, the daily questions in the study, God gave me the answers, and I knew it was God that was giving me those answers. God knew my spiritual condition, even though I didn't, and he allowed a specific sin to enter my life, and it got a grip on me. Even I knew it was a sin. But I couldn't get rid of it, and I didn't want to at first. And then it was as if it just was a trap, and I couldn't get out of it. And I tried to stop, but I couldn't, and that was scary. And in the Bible study from John chapter 8, I read, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And I spoke to God, and I said, what freedom? I feel trapped by all these rules, and I can't keep any of them. And God was revealing through his word what I had never understood, that I was a sinner. And later, we were in John 14 and 16, and I learned that the Holy Spirit gives all believers power over sin. And I cried out to God, and I said, If I'm a believer, then where's the power? Why don't I have the power? I had admitted that the problem was sin, but why couldn't I fix it? In John 17, my Bible study leader suggested that each of us personalize that chapter, chapter 17, every day, and we replace the word they or them with our name. And so that was God's time. And as I read that chapter every day and said, Becky, Becky, every time those words were there, I just was overwhelmed by a God who loved me. And I realized Jesus was praying for me. And I realized Jesus was everything I really needed, and even more than that. I thought I was a Christian, but I wasn't, because I didn't realize I was a sinner. Until you realize you're a sinner, you don't need a savior. Through God's word, I realized I am a sinner, and Jesus became my savior, and he became my Lord. And through God's word, it changed everything. It changed my perspective. His love just overpowered me in that. So I didn't have to try anymore to be free, because God had done that. Jesus did it. When his death, he paid the penalty for my sin, and that freed me. And now he does whatever it takes to open my eyes enough to see who I really am and who he really is. He speaks through his word, and his word changes everything. It changed me, and that's why I came tonight, because everyone needs to know that there's more.
So finally tonight, thank you so much, Becky. Finally tonight, I want to share the story of a woman that's currently in our Watermark Women's Bible Study. She grew up in another country. She was taught another religion where there might be serious consequences if she were to learn about Christ. There she married a man who had grown up in the same culture with the same religion. And she later found out after they married that he was an atheist. They moved to Dallas 6 years ago on a work visa, knowing no one, from another country with another religion. I'm not going to say her name, because her sharing her story comes at risk to her. So we would ask that you not take any pictures or videos, and don't share her story on social media. If you're listening on the app, we're not going to post the video on the app either. But I want you to watch her story.
I've been a slave to fear. The fear of not being good enough or not doing good enough to please God. I was afraid to question my faith, or even worse, to know who truly God is, and I will end up leaving my faith, and I will be killed, because this is how it was. I never found the freedom to dig deeper. I remember hiding books in my room and tearing them after reading them. I was so scared to even Google Jesus. But then 6 years ago, I came here, and for the first time, I found the freedom to dig deeper and ask questions. I found the freedom to get myself a Bible. It was a mistake to go for the pink cover. It was King James. I couldn't understand anything. But I didn't give up. I Googled. I watched documentaries. I asked questions. It still wasn't good enough till I met my best friend, Chris Howell, who got me a new Bible that I can understand, finally. Then she invited me to go to Watermark. It was a huge step to go to a church. The love I found here, I couldn't find anywhere. I started asking questions, and she was very loyal in answering everything. She is my mentor through my faith journey. This is not enough just to ask questions and she answers. No, I wanted to really dig deeper. So she invited me to start attending women's Bible study here. That was 2016 when I joined. It was huge commitment, and I didn't know what am I supposed to do with my husband. Remember, I was a slave to fear. I couldn't share that with anyone because I know the outcome. But you know, God gave me strength. I started coming. I wouldn't miss a Wednesday morning. It killed me to miss a Wednesday morning. I wanted to know more, to see more, to understand more. God changed it to soften my heart. The love I saw here, the stories I heard here, really changed my heart. God knew what it's gonna take to change my heart. Chris gave me the book called Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. That was a turning point in my life. To really know who I am now, I had to look back and know I'm not gonna go back to this. I know who God truly is now, and I need to work on that. I need to read more. I need to know God's word. And what a better place to know that than here in Women's Bible Study. Sometimes I struggle with the answers and the questions, and I'm like, I don't get that. But when I just come and hear the first 30 minutes, oh, I get it now. In February 2017, I was sure now about what's in my heart. My heart was full. I was so scared to say the truth. But again, with the help of you, my friends, I just found myself sitting among them, declaring my faith that I believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I really don't know how much time it would have taken me if it wasn't for you. The support, the encouragement, I feel safe among you. And this is huge to me. I'm proud to say like 90% of my friends are you from Bible Study. I don't know anyone else. I don't have family here, but you are my family here. But I come to believe after those years and the change that happened to my heart is full now. God calls all of his children, and it's up to us to answer his call. But just doing your homework, know more about Jesus, just read, Google, have a friend and ask her questions. You will know who God truly is. You will know he sacrificed himself on the cross for us, for our sins. You don't have to be a slave to sin or fear anymore. There's freedom. Yes, there will be pain and suffering. Well, God did not promise us an earthly life free of pain, suffering, or death. But he promised, and I promise you, he will never forsake you. Just trust him. Trust his plan and his timing for you. Back in October, a few months ago, me and my family went through hardship, one of the hardest we've been in my 12 years of marriage. My husband was taken away for 33 days. And by that, I didn't have my husband, my kids didn't have their dad. We didn't have an income, and lots of things were going on. And again, fear started to control. But now I know who I am and whose I am. And the help I got from you, from the women in Bible Study, is unbelievable. The support, y'all, I got an army praying for me. And I felt it. My husband felt it. Who didn't believe in God in the first place? He knew that there is someone outside praying for him. That's you. Do you remember I became a believer here in Bible Study, during Bible Study? God knew how he's gonna change my heart. And he used every single one of you. Even if I don't know you or your name, you know, you smiling at my face at the door means the world to me. Sitting down next to me and say, hey, what's going on? Do you have a prayer request? How can I pray for you? How can I help you? Hey, let's go grab some lunch. This is the world to me.
That's a humbling story, isn't it? We have an amazing God. And there is even more to her story. So when she referenced her husband being taken away, you may have wondered why. Her husband was put in a detention center because his work permit had expired. He was in the detention center for 33 days. But she says when God allowed him to be in this place away from everything, God started to change his heart. He realized that God is in control, and he realized that he needed Christ. Y'all, he read the whole Bible in those 33 days in that detention center, and he came back a new man, a new husband, a new father, and as we learn in 2 Corinthians, a new creation in Christ. The Bible says that God can use suffering. He really can. God is not just changing the direction of her life. He's changing the direction of this whole family. Sometimes on a Thursday night, you might think, "Ugh, I've had a really rough day. I'm tired. I just want to go home. It doesn't matter whether I'm here." And y'all already know, whatever crazy is going to happen in your life, it is going to happen on a Thursday to try to keep you away. But when you feel that way, think about this. You matter. You are the ambassadors of Christ. You need to be here for yourself and for someone else, for the women in your group. Being in God's Word matters. Sharing what's going on in your life and shining the light of Scripture on it matters. Praying for each other matters. Processing what God says in His Word with other women, it matters. It can change the direction of your life or someone else's. So I can't wait to walk the rest of 2 Corinthians with you. I'm going to have our friend from the video. She is here tonight as well, and she's going to come up and pray for the rest of our study.
Hi. Great to be here. Thank you for having me. Heavenly Father, gracious Almighty, thank you for your love and your faithfulness. Thank you for this amazing group of women taking the chance to study and teach your word. Thank you for the chance they have given me to share my story and to glorify your name. Father, I pray that you fill our hearts with joy, peace, and your grace. I pray for all of us, your daughters, that you will always give us the courage, strength, and the freedom to keep sharing the good news. Keep sharing how amazing and extraordinary, Father, you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Have a wonderful time in your group tonight. Thank you.